With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. My name's still Marcus Speller, and that guy's Luke Moore.
My name don't change.
Jim Campbell's name hasn't changed.
No, it hasn't.
Pete's might have.
John Fantastic.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome into the home of us and John Fantastic.
Yes.
John Fantastic and the Ramblers. Sounds like a great popular beat combo I could get behind on Motown Records. Tamla Motown Records.
Oh, gentlemen, it's nearly upon us, the Premier League. We've enjoyed the Champions League this week, haven't we?
Well, I bloody have enjoyed it.
Especially if you're a flipping Spurs fan.
Yeah.
A spicy evening for the Lily Whites. A word I can never say. And emergency.
Based on
Lily White.
You said it fantastically
the,
there.
Based on you get a great insight into the mindset of a Spurs fan, right? Given that about 80% of our best bet with Bet365 suggestions this week were, I'm a Spurs fan, I think we'll lose to Palace at the weekend.
The proto Newcastle United support, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly.
They're not used to this kind of behaviour, are they?
But what a performance. They should be, though. What a performance.
It was magnificent.
Yeah. They're looking more comfortable at Wembley, aren't they?
Yeah, I think we can put the hoodoo thing to rest now, which I'm sure they'll be delighted by.
Do you know what, actually, on a mildly serious point, for just a brief moment, that, I think, and that this just could be me getting used to seeing Spurs at Wembley, but that actually looked like a home game for Spurs.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Rather than, we were playing at Wembley, and that's our temporary
home. But it helped that the crowd enjoyed it as well, didn't it?
Oh, you can't. It doesn't get any better than that for it. If you support a club who are playing at home to Real Madrid in the Champions League,
the holders of the competition,
exactly, three in the last 4 years, and we talked a lot on the continent this week, which obviously is available now, about Real Madrid and their plight and their tribulations and everything. But it doesn't. The fact remains they are the Champions League holders. They've won it twice in a row. They've won it 3 in 4 years, and you know. I think you can make a decent argument that Spurs have actually improved this season. They've lost two of their first 15 in the league, and they lost two of their that was last year. They lost two of their first 10 this year. This time last year, after 10 games, they were fourth, and they're third this year.
Yeah.
So and they've also topping a Champions League group, which is much harder than the group in which they came third last year. So if you look at it. You know, universally, you can make a decent argument that they've actually improved.
Oh, absolutely. So their league form's got slightly worse, but their Champions League form is much better.
Their league form in position after 10 games is better than it was this time last year.
And you have to remember how good Manchester City are as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's absolutely
unfortunate timing for them as well. And also, you know, as much as, you know, we've just spoken about the Wembley thing, it does take time to adjust to a new stadium. Yeah. So there's always, you know, it's completely reasonable that they would have, that any team would have teething problems.
Teams
there.
In that part of London, notoriously.
And Marcus, I was going to say, look, not everyone can be a West Ham and get with it straight away. You know? For a lot of people, it takes time.
Well, West Ham looked quite comfortable playing at Wembley the other week, though, didn't they? Maybe that was it. I did enjoy Cristiano Ronaldo saying after the game, because he scored, of course, but they lost the game and his form hasn't been as blisteringly good as it has been in recent years. Still good, though, lest we forget. Yeah. And after the game, he said, I'm super calm.
Right.
The fact that you put super in there makes me think otherwise. And then people were asking him about his performance and so on. He said, my stats, I'm not going to talk about it. You go to Google and they are there, all of them. That doesn't concern me at all.
I'm John Fantastic.
Google the score, John Fantastic. Passing it on to Ronnie.
I just think beating Real Madrid in the Champions League is massive.
It's glorious. Yeah, absolutely glorious. Well,
they haven't lost in the group stage of the Champions League for years.
I think it's 5 years, isn't it? Right. And also, even if it was a sluggish Madrid performance, which I think there's an element of it, because at first I was looking at the pattern of the game thinking Madrid seemed very, very patient here, and I think I'd maybe given them too much credit, and it was that actually they just didn't really get out of the blocks, and Spurs just hit them so hard. And I really do think, which is ridiculous given the way the game went in the Bernabeu, that they just absolutely underestimated Spurs. They seemed shocked every time Harry Kane chased something down, and yeah. you know, everybody in the team doing that.
It was the intensity, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And the pace shown. They just they looked like they had the beating of every player man for man.
Massively.
They were a Rolls Royce.
It was a great illustration of the effectiveness of the type of possession you have. Without getting too beardy about it, Real Madrid had twice the possession Spurs did, but Spurs' effectiveness in possession was far greater.
Absolutely. Just like simple things like using Kieran Trippier as an outlet as often as they did. Madrid really struggled against him for a time.
I love his delivery.
Trippier.
Ali should have had a hat-trick, and that ball... That header for his hat-trick.
Doesn't that sum it all up? The fact is, Dele Alli will have probably walked off that pitch knowing how high his standards are, thinking... With a tinge of disappointment.
Because I could have had a third. Yeah.
Bearing in mind, his side have just beaten Real Madrid 3-1 and he scored two, and yet he'll walk off that pitch with just a little tiny
bit. I don't know, though. The type of character Dele Alli is, he's probably thinking, I'm going to deliberately miss this one as a joke. I don't even need it. I've already got two, you mugs.
To make Eric Dyer jealous.
Why does someone think of Eric Dyer?
The Trippier delivery for that potential hat-trick header, I watched it about four times.
Yeah.
The shape of the ball... The technique in striking the ball. I mean, he couldn't have placed it on his head any better with his hands. Exactly. It was beautiful to watch.
And
really
his first delivery. I mean, Trippier's that good. He can be offside, and yet it can still count.
Oh, right.
That's how good he is. Yeah. Can outpace the rules.
Well, Trippier, he's filled Kyle Walker's shoes quite nicely.
Brilliant.
You'd have to say. And according to Opta, he's recorded 13 assists in all competitions in 2017, six more than any other Premier League defender.
Fantastic.
And for the type of fullback he is, that's important.
And also, about his delivery. 17, you say, as well. So a lot of the time he'd have been playing second fiddle to Kyle Walker during that time, which is very impressive.
But that absolutely. But for that position, you know, someone might say, well, he's a fullback. Our assists really his currency. But the type of fullback he is and the type of fullback Pochettino plays and so many other teams, of course, that is actually a big stat.
Real were not at the races. Let's make that very clear as well. Casemiro got on the ground when...
That was hilarious.
I mean, what was that about? It's very, very strange. So far out,
it was quite
out,
a vigorous shirt pull.
I mean, that's the future of winning a foul, isn't it? When you've been fouled, because people say, "Oh, there's contact, so he's got every right to go to ground." Do you have to do it immediately? Casemiro thinks not. You can save it.
What's the statute of limitations on that?
Like Tony Cruz is like all over the place as well.
It's a 7-second rule.
It's like bankruptcy, a 7-year rule.
Yeah.
Indeed. Yes.
One thing I really, really enjoyed in the commentary is that Glenn Hoddle, you know, absolute expert football that he is,
yes.
still calls him Real Madrid.
I just love that.
He's had a lovely night. I mean, I don't know if there's enough characters in the whole of Twitter in total for him to get sunglasses emojis that he wants in there. he's had a lovely old time there.
He uses it more than me.
Yeah. another favourite moment of mine was obviously Sergio Ramos winding up Dembele, who took the bait straight away.
Yeah.
Love that. And I was thinking, there's that stat we talk about quite a lot of obviously how many red cards he's had, and six of those are against Barcelona. And I was thinking, how many times did Roy Keane get sent off in his career? So as I was googling that, I found out it's seven. So he's like, you know, just not as many for Ramos against Barcelona as Roy Keane had in his career. And as I was googling that, Ramos got booked for sarcasm.
Oh yeah, he did the clappies, didn't he?
Nice.
He did the clappies.
Brilliant.
But he hit Dembele like three times on the chest. He's like, where's the ref going to blow up for this? This is insane. Who's watching this match?
It's absolutely wonderful.
And interesting enough, I know you want to talk a little bit about him in terms of what Gareth Southgate thinks about him and these upcoming friendlies.
I might.
Harry Winks very much looks part of the furniture so quickly.
Well, he got a lot of the plaudits because he just looks so assured.
Yeah.
But players should be assured at that level playing in the Champions League. But
you'd think so,
who was he facing off against? Which players were he facing off against, for crying out loud? He looked fantastic.
He did look fantastic. And as Luke said, there, you know, Southgate has very much got him in his plans for the friendlies against Germany and Brazil.
And we need someone in there. I said a few weeks ago, look, I don't know if he is the answer, but I mean, if Southgate thinks he is, you've got to trust him. He's got to go with it.
Well, I also think there's a lot to be said for having consistency of teammates. You know, if he's playing with Harry Kane and Dele Alli every week, and Eric Dier in there as well, in whatever combination, it's a good thing to keep that going for England.
Yeah, can we pick the entire Spurs team?
Throw them in.
I don't think
throw them in.
Are you suggesting that the England spine has just beaten the European champions?
Yeah, why not?
I mean, it all bodes very well for Russia, of course.
And there's some good English players playing for Man City at a very high level as well.
And also, obviously, Kyle Walker being in there already has that relationship.
Why do we always talk our way into this? Like, the timeline is exactly the same every 4 years. And we were long enough in the tooth to remember the last two World Cups. And we always do this.
Listen, mate, because free will is an illusion.
I stir the old England cauldron for 18 months and get it prepared. But I've got it early.
Yeah, the thing is, we can see you doing it for like 13 of those months.
But the thing we had with 2010, I remember quite vividly us talking on the show during the World Cup in 2010, saying the most that England can hope for now is like a 5 to 10 minute spell in a big game.
We're
playing quite well, and you think, oh, I don't know, we could do something.
That's
here.
All we want.
And if you get that 10 minutes, you're laughing.
And we've been starved of that 10 minutes.
I want 20 minutes next time.
Well, at least Spurs will do it at the start of the game instead of like halfway through it.
We haven't had that 10 minutes probably since, I don't know, 2004 or something like that.
Oh, so 2010 when we blisteringly smashed Germany in the second round game, but unfortunately we're beaten.
What we should do is first half play the under-17s. Yeah. Second half Spurs. So
you can't. You can only get a certain amount of squad members, despite what Marcus will tell you.
Yeah, don't listen to me. But, crying out loud.
Crystal Palace are a colossal 9-1 to beat Spurs at Wembley this weekend. So £10 will return £100 with Bet365, including your stake.
Yeah, Mamadou Sakho is in training for Palace. Could be back for that game.
MacArthur as well.
They'll need them.
Yeah, they will need them. Palace have only beaten Spurs once in the Premier League, and it was so long ago. Neil Shipperley scored the goal.
That's a lovely one. How's Shipperley getting on?
I think he's the size of a house.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. He's enjoying his retirement. Yeah. And so he should be. I said the other week or on the last show that if you've been a professional athlete for the vast majority of your professional life, then you deserve a little bit of dessert.
What's our excuse?
We're far like from dessert. Professional anything, let alone athletes.
I think the moment when you realise it's not going to happen, then you can just kick on.
I might be a professional eater.
Were you saying that last time about, was it in the context of David Unsworth?
Yes, I think it was.
Right, yeah. Okay.
David Bunsworth. Am I right?
Come on. That's
either turn up to the show.
Yeah. If he came in here now, you wouldn't be saying that.
No, I wouldn't. I'm a coward.
Hello, David. How are you?
Yeah. Oh, David, I've long been a big admirer of your work.
I'll call you David Funsworth.
You're the most mobile defender Joey Barton's ever seen, in my view.
Yeah.
Well, Spurs, of course, they're through to the knockouts of the Champions League, as are Manchester City. Mm. Lovely win away to Napoli. Pep Guardiola, he loves Napoli to the point of, I'm thinking, remember who you're... You're managing.
I think he loves them to an extent that's actually quite inappropriate.
Is he keeping City on their toes?
He was being really arrogant the last time we played him. Do you remember when they won? And he said, "Well, it's impossible to beat this team. It's impossible.
I don't know how we've managed it. Yeah. Even though we've got better players.
So much. Even though we spent $400 billion on our team.
Do you think that's why he turned up in his bomber jacket?
Well, maybe, yeah.
This will impress
him. His bouncer's jacket.
Yeah, just hanging out.
Cat. I love you guys.
He's playing it cool.
Napoli, I just want to talk to you at the bar.
I love you, Napoli. I love you, Napoli, but you ain't getting in if you haven't got ID.
Can I manage Napoli as well?
Yeah, in between games.
Yeah.
It was a great
game, by the way.
It was a brilliant game, and it was good that it be produced, because you've got two very attacking sides who are scoring a lot of goals at the moment, both top of their respective leagues, and it delivered. It was a brilliant game, and Guardiola's men beat a side who play a similar style. This is probably their biggest test thus far, to beat them home and away.
Yeah, given, I mean, Napoli, they've won every game in Serie A.
They're undefeated.
They're close to that. So
Near enough.
One of the things that's interesting about City, actually, I know it's fairly early days in the season, but they don't look one of those teams where they're going to get cancelled out by another good team in a big game. Do you know what I mean? It's going to have to be someone setting up to spoil it rather than the two things are sort of quite evenly matched, because they're just so fluid.
Well, Napoli, I mean, we talk about Napoli and how good a team they are domestically and how much Pep Guardiola likes them, and the boys on the continent will say they play the best football in Italy. Mm. But if you look at their Champions League form, they're in big trouble.
I mean, they've lost
they're
two games.
They're going to go through.
They've lost three games so far, and obviously two of them against Man City. But you're right, Shakhtar.
They lost to Shakhtar. Yeah.
Shakhtar in a better position. Shakhtar looking good this season, and they often do that. Shakhtar, don't they? They'll sort of disappear for a season or two, and then come roaring back with a new.
But that type of game it was last night, and it was great for Aguero to break the record as well, because he's been an amazing, outstanding servant for them. But that's the type of game that, as a fan, you think, yeah, great game, but I'm so pleased we won it, because it's sickening to be on the end of a defeat in that type of game. Because we played our part, we played really well. I don't care, we got beaten.
Yeah,
so it's great
right.
for them to actually get a win as well. And I think Man City look excellent value for the Champions League this season so far. I mean, we talked at the start of the season, I can't remember which show it was on, but I was saying that I still think Real Madrid look head and shoulders above everyone else, and I wouldn't be surprised if they did it again. Well, obviously, Man City look better than them now at this current moment.
Well, that's what you know. To quote myself, to be so bold, you know, a few weeks or a month ago, or whatever, I was saying, Man City need to look at the Champions League this season. The league is surely on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas the Champions League, and this is, you know, Roy Keane's comments on the telly last night when he said, yeah, they've still got the Man City DNA, haven't they?
Yeah.
It's essentially an Arsenal fan saying they're going to Spurs it up.
No, it doesn't really mean anything, does it? It doesn't mean anything.
I think that was Roy Keane's finest performance as a pundit last night. He also said, I wouldn't watch Liverpool if they were playing in my back garden.
Yeah.
He's probably got quite a big back garden, so it's possible.
Yeah. He'd be out the front walking the dog, though.
Exactly.
He?
Yeah. He'd still snub it.
But I think his point about Manchester City is actually wrong. And this is, and actually, I think it was even those words that Guardiola used when he first joined the club, and he said there's still a bit of DNA left over here.
Typical City.
Yeah.
Well, I've been in some hotels and rooms like that.
Peter. And it was never proved, despite the overwhelming DNA evidence. But Guardiola, he said that, and actually this, we talk about Spurs taking it up a notch, which undoubtedly they have, and the stats prove that. Man City have as well. It's clear for all to see. Pep Guardiola, every press interview after the game now, he looks happy, he looks relaxed, and he's just said, and he always says, oh, we were so happy with the result, we played well. The team spirit, I think that was highlighted on the TV, the players all running over to celebrate with Sterling with the fourth, the team spirit, something has clicked.
Definitely.
That didn't click last season.
And they've also, make no mistake, they are geared up to want to win the Champions League.
Oh, absolutely.
That's the whole point.
And they've spent big money. We can't deny that. Yeah. But they, you know, other teams have, and it doesn't work out. They have spent big money.
Yeah.
They have got the best squad in the Premier League, without a doubt.
But Marcus, what about a word for Aguero and his record-breaking
Well, to put it in perspective, it was Eric Brooks, the late, great Eric Brooks, one of English football's finest, if you look through the history books. He's held that record since retiring from football, since 1939.
Yeah.
39. You know, that's how long ago it was. I mean, you know, so when some players come along and break a club's scoring record, you know, obviously someone like Wayne Rooney, we all knew it was Sir Bobby Charlton, so it's a big accolade and so on. But that's how long ago it was. That's the, you know, there's your sort of DNA, if you like, that record has been held for so long. City haven't had a fantastic goal scorer for so long. They've had good goal scorers and all, but to come along and break the record, it's absolutely phenomenal.
And he's come, and also, when they signed him, you did wonder how long it was going to last, whether it was going to be a real love affair. But he seems to have developed a real love affair with the club.
And indeed.
And I've absolutely no doubt he would have had opportunities to go elsewhere throughout his time, but he's wanted to stay there.
Yeah.
And he's also got, a bit of an unfair reputation as being a bit injury prone. Well, if he doesn't actually miss that many games. If you look at his record in terms of appearances over the years he's been there, not really missed that many. I mean, his Premier League appearances across the seasons, I've got it in front of me here, 34 Premier League games, 30, 23, 33, 30, 31, and he's played 7 out of 10 so far this season. Okay. So it's not actually that bad.
That's really interesting because, you know, he does have this reputation. I guess it's because it's, you know, it'll miss a chunk every season.
But that's why we have people like John Fantastic on the show. We bust myths. John Fantastic, Mythbuster.
Yeah.
That's part of what you get with us. You know. Right.
What other myths have you busted about Sergio Aguero?
No, that was me who busted it.
Oh, okay.
But I had the help of John Fantastic.
I just saw him pass you a piece of paper.
Yeah. John Fantastic was like the exec producer of that Mythbuster.
Puppet Master.
Oh. But I mean, he does miss a few games, Aguero. Not as many as I thought, but he still finishes top scorer.
Exactly. I think 33 goals last season.
Yeah.
What about John Stones?
John Stones. Nice to see him scoring again.
Absolutely. I mean, he nearly scored in the first half with that absolutely towering header as well. Yeah.
He's got three in the Champions League already this season.
Brilliant. Same as Lionel Messi.
Yeah. More than all of Arsenal. Yeah.
How much defending has Lionel Messi done?
None. You know? Probably quite a bit from the front.
John Stones is probably calling up Lionel Messi saying, you're not even holding up your end of the bargain. I'm scoring the goals like you
asked. I'd rather watch Leo Messi do a Cruyff down in his own box than John Stones, to be honest.
Exactly. See you in the final, Mess.
I wouldn't mind that on Sunday, actually.
Yeah. Jim, presumably a bet that would interest you. Arsenal are 11-2 with Bet365 to beat City at the Etihad this weekend. £10 will return £65, including stake.
Well, Arsenal have won the most matches and points from losing positions so far this season.
And they will be in a little
bit. Exactly. I'm saying we'll say that after.
Let them come on to you.
That'll come in handy.
Let them come on early.
It's the only way you're going to learn.
Out the way.
Yeah. We're 3-0 down, lads. Do not worry, because here's a stat for you.
Yeah. I just look at this game and think, why did you feel you needed Alexis Sanchez?
Get off! Just get off! You don't need him at all.
I love the fact Arsenal are playing in the Europa League tonight, of course. A competition that Atletico Madrid midfielder and captain Gabby called a piece of shit, by the way. and Atleti look as though they may end up in that competition, yeah, of course. But at the time of recording, Arsenal have not played Red Star Belgrade. But I love the fact that the Red Star manager came out and backed Arsene Wenger's decision to play some fringe players.
Yeah,
I love that.
I bet he does.
Because Wenger said, you know, we might give other people a chance here and so on, as he has done before. And the Red Star manager was like, no, I totally agree with that. You need to give everybody a chance. And blah, blah, blah. Yeah, don't play your best side against us. Please do. Yeah.
Do Arsenal fans want to win the Europa League, Jim?
Oh, I would say 100%. Absolutely.
Of course they do, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you always want to win a competition that you're in. Absolutely. And regardless of, you know, whether it represents... Yeah, genuinely, even so. I mean, you know, they're not going to bust the gut for that. I think it'd be interesting to see what happens, you know, if Arsenal qualify, as I like to think they will, whether he sort of keeps with his team. Because Wenger does have a habit of doing that, of sticking to a team in a competition. And, you know, sometimes, you know, to his detriment. So we'll see.
Well, also, it's a huge game at the weekend for them, important. Yeah. And they don't want to be... I don't mean this in a disrespectful way, but clearly they don't want to be embarrassed against a team who have looked absolutely rampant.
Well, that's the danger, isn't it, with City?
But the players they played in the game against Red Star last time, I mean, if you look at the lineup, it's Nelson, Elneny played centre-back, didn't he?
Yeah, Maitland-Niles.
Willock and Maitland-Niles. Wilshere played, of course. So, you know, Holding played. I know Holding's played quite a lot, hasn't
he? But, you know.
There's a precedent been set there. It will be cool to see how he approaches it ahead of this game on the weekend.
Indeed. In other Arsenal-related news, possibly interesting one for you here, Peter, the club are going to add 780 extra hospitality seats to the Emirates Stadium to bring the capacity up to above 60,000.
Did they have the choice there? They went, what kind of seats should we put in? Shall we get the 50-quid ones or the 150-quid ones?
I reckon they probably thought if we put our 780 hospitality seats, we've got far more chance of Marcus Speller coming out.
make them Chesterfields and we'll nab him.
Yeah, because he will not sit in the normal ones.
That's not true at all.
It needs protection.
And now it's time for correspondence with Pete. Fantastic.
Speaking of people who need protection from a man, here's Pete Donaldson.
Well, speaking of bums, actually, hello to Richard, or Ricard, rather. Did you notice El Faron getting his bum fingered by Perotti in the celebration of the second goal?
No,
very accurate.
That was very
fine work.
Perotti against Chelsea.
What is the reason for this?
I did notice it, though.
He was trying to get his attention, and sometimes, lads being lads, the only way to get a man's attention is by popping the old finger up the bum.
I can't.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Comment further on that.
I mean, there's about 40 cameras on you. The guy's just scored a goal. Do that another time. If you really have to.
Maybe he was doing his bit for prostate cancer. I don't know. I just don't know. Love and kisses from John. Hello, John. Sunderland's record of not winning a home game in 2017 is frequently commented upon. However, until Tuesday, we were equally proud of our record of never having been in front at home in the whole of 2017. But on Tuesday, for 3 minutes, we were in front against Bolton at the Stadium of Light. A game, of course, in which...
They got Amiobied.
Got Amiobied.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Uh-huh. Somebody commented that I reckon Shawler probably lent them his boots, his shooting boots for Sunderland. So we managed to then concede and then at least maintained our no-win record. However, as it stands, that 3 minutes is literally the whole of our end-of-year video highlights. I imagine when Grayson was called at the chief exec's office after the match, he probably thought he was in line for getting an in-front bonus. But no, he's sacked. Modern football is madness.
So 2 points on that. One was that, did you hear that a guy was on a radio phone-in calling for... Grayson to be sacked as a Sunderland fan.
Yeah.
When the news came through that he had been sacked.
Wow.
And so he just goes, and the news come in and Simon Grayson has been sacked from Sunderland, and the guy just goes, praise the Lord. And the second point I want to make on that is that
I want £1 million.
Sunderland is obviously a complete shit show of a club at the moment for lots of different reasons. I don't mean that in an awful way.
No, they're
more
a mess.
Observation. And Simon Grayson was fired. I mean, the headline this morning on the BBC website was just Sunderland having a massive dig saying, well, next time around we want like an experienced manager.
What?
And it's like, Grayson's... Well,
you appointed him.
And he's also quite experienced anyway. Yeah. So.
Unless that's how Sunderland works, you just rock up.
Well, who are the two front runners for the job?
Peter Reid.
I talk Karanka. Former Real Madrid assistant and Middlesbrough manager. I talk Karanka.
Would Karanka not fancy it?
I loved it when I saw Peter Reid linked with the job because it said in the article he's been out of work since 2014 or something.
Yeah.
And I thought, that can't be right.
No, I'm sure that's another 10 years on top of that.
I thought it was Mumbai City. That's what.
I mean, if they install a tyre seat in the dugout, we'll know.
And before that, he was having a lovely old time managing Thailand. Yeah. Suddenly before that.
Come on, Premier Passions number two. I'd love to see it.
He was Plymouth manager in 2010-11.
For a bit.
But yeah, for a short bit. And then before that, he was manager of Thailand.
Yeah.
He managed a country.
But didn't he got Sunderland's 2 seventh place finishes? finishes at some point, didn't he? So
yeah, had a good time under him.
I don't think anyone's saying he didn't do a decent job.
Swore a lot.
I mean, but has he kept his eye in the manager game, Jim?
Apparently, he's very, very, very involved still. Michael Gray told me that.
Is that right?
Yeah, and then Michael Gray's very, very closely linked to Sunderland. Okay. I'm not suggesting he'll get the job.
Didn't Michael Gray have a lovely time under Peter Reid at Sunderland?
Gray, to be fair to him, was saying, I don't think Peter Reid should be the manager. I think we should have a manager, but Peter Reid should have a role at the club, is what he was saying, which is obviously slightly different.
That's fair, isn't it? Yeah. But don't get him a house or an apartment in Sunderland. He very much wants to stay at a hotel.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Preferably a different hotel every week as well, just to really sort of do the tour. But genuinely, that actually could be what Sunderland need, isn't it? They clearly lack stability.
It's what the Ramble need.
Understands the game.
Yeah, why not?
The Ramble want Peter Reid back at that club.
Absolutely.
Is that ever correspondence, Peter?
No, we've got one more. Oh. Cordy from Hillsborough, Oregon. Please learn the difference between begging the question and raising the question. You've never actually done or noted the former. Well, Cordy, in response, it raises the question, has Cordy from Hillsborough, Oregon, ever made a mistake on the internet? Typing your email address into Google and finding your Reddit account, you appear to be a big Forest fan and an ardent Redditor. So let's not cloud our judgment with those two facts. 6 days ago, on a London Landlord Ask Me Anything thread, you should keep it, though, telling everyone it was invention.
You've embarrassed yourself there, Cody.
Everyone. Yeah, instead of everyone.
Embarrassed himself.
1 month ago, on an International Speedway thread, you used the sentence, any plans to return to school tomorrow?
Take on John Fantastic, no. Cody. That's your first mistake.
Bust your myths about yourself.
Yeah. On an Apple Diagnostics forum, you meant to type, I've let it sit overnight each time. He's written, I've meet it sit over time each next. Or rather, I've me it sit overnight each time.
Yeah.
On a cooking forum, you posted a picture of you making Eggs Benedict, Cordy from Hillsborough, Oregon.
You didn't season it.
These are the things you put on your plate, Cordy. Egg. Look, pipe up if you hear anything you don't like.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Or the odd one out.
Yeah.
Egg. Yeah. Hollandaise sauce. Mm-hmm. Avocado. Mm. Courgette. Tomatoes. Mm. Strawberries.
Cody.
Get it together, mate.
Cody, he is without sin, cast the first stone. Yeah.
Pete, delete your account.
Did he email us or did you email him?
Is there a Cody, Pete?
Pete, Cody never existed, did he?
Tyler
even
Dunn.
The name Cody suggests you sort of cooked him up on the internet.
Yeah. It says here, Cody Fantastic.
Yeah.
Family member. Yeah, we're going to talk about Manchester United and Chelsea after this.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Muy rápido. Muy, muy. Like a Ferrari.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble Preview Show, everybody. Manchester United and Chelsea are both playing each other on the weekend. They had differing times in the Champions League this week, of course. Mourinho's men did get a good win against Benfica. Chelsea obviously hammered by Roma.
Yeah, and the really sort of dramatic news out the back of that was the Chelsea game, I mean. I was on the Eurosport website and they were talking about, quoting an unnamed source at Chelsea, saying that Conte's a dead man walking.
Ooh.
And that it's only a matter of time before he's
hair.
Gone.
You know what, I'm not that surprised by that, because if he just doesn't seem as interested, does he? We keep hearing these things come out in the press, which obviously come from somewhere, about how, you know, it's not a long-term thing for him and he misses Italy and
it's
he
been
to go back there. Exactly.
The whole calendar year, really, has been stuff coming out of that club over and over again, leaking all over the place about him and his potential change to his career and his future and all the rest of it. And this is a team that won the Premier League.
Yeah. Well, do you think he peaked too early? Because had they not have won the league last season, he'd have thought, right, come on, we finished, you know, wherever they would have in my hypothetical chat, and then try and kick on. Whereas they won the league, you can only finish lower than first, therefore, the next season. And with Manchester City's emergence,
they're not going to win the league this season.
They're not going to win the league this season.
No chance.
You wouldn't have thought so. I mean, they're 9 points behind Manchester City already. If they lose to Manchester United and Man City beat Arsenal, and there's two ifs there, you know, even for Arsenal's sake, then obviously there'd be 12 points adrift after just 11 games. Also losing 3-0 to Roma in the same week. Now, they still look good for Champions League knockout qualification. Mm. But it would heap a load more pressure on Conte. Or would Conte, because I agree with you, Jim, I think he does look a little bit disinterested at times, not knowing the man, of course. Might he just walk away? Although it's unlikely he would walk away from a challenge.
I don't know, but we've seen that at Chelsea many times, haven't you? They do have this strange inability to be consistently good for more than a season in recent times, to be honest. And it does look a bit like Chelsea's checked out. I think even in the Watford game, which they came back to won at 2-1, his body language looked very sort of distant and disinterested.
It's just almost the the takeaways from we look back on this Chelsea, this era of Chelsea, will probably be one of like organised chaos.
It'll be like they've won
won these amounts of trophy, this amount of trophies, and they won all these different things. But
second season, not so good.
It was just chaos. Chaos the whole time. So yeah, it'll be.
But then a lot of clubs do. Real Madrid are not too dissimilar.
But if Man United if Man United go to Stamford Bridge and spoil the way they spoiled, for example, at Anfield, but nick it. I cannot wait for the press. It's a great weekend of football. Anyway,
I know what you mean,
last weekend we were talking. I don't know if we said it on the shows themselves, but Brilliant. Off air we were saying it was potentially a bit of a dull one. Mm. This weekend's set up to be, even if the football's not that good, there's going to be a lot of narrative come off the back of it, and the press conferences particularly will be absolutely.
If Man United win, Mourinho, Mata and Matic. Yeah, the three M's.
I'm talking about what Conte will say.
No, there's
what
that
Conte
as well.
Will do
would
because that'll sort of essentially represent quite a poor week in quite a crucial part of the season for Chelsea.
Yeah,
I mean there are rumours abound that Conte wants to go back to Italy, blah blah blah. You know his family and all that. But would austerity Chelsea bother to spend the money getting rid of him? Or would they sort of wait until he walks? The only way I can see them firing him is if they don't get Champions League.
Yeah, and
which
I think they will. Yeah, I think they.
But
that's
what about
point,
what Pete. About their performance in the Champions League thus far? I mean, they're second in the group.
It's not been terrible.
No, but they've still got to play Atletico Madrid.
They do,
and they've still got to go to Carabao. And Carabao have picked up a couple of decent draws.
They have.
Yeah, I mean, I think they'll certainly wait until the end of the group stage, I would think. But it's worth remembering that Chelsea had a wobble at the start of last season. Obviously not as bad as this, but Conte's proven he can sort of overcome that.
Because they were on that run where they won like 13 games in a row after that.
Yeah, exactly.
They?
Yeah.
I can't see that happening this
They did
this
win though. In Madrid against Atletico, lest we forget. And they were
that
brilliant
was a,
that game.
That was a great result.
But that was, I know, I don't want to sound too fickle, but that was, what was it, month and a half, 2 months ago, when the climate was quite different.
But Atletico Madrid were getting used to a new stadium and all the rest of it. There were other factors behind that. It was a great performance.
No, but I'm saying Chelsea looked like they had a little bit of wind up their sails at that point, whereas the current climate at Chelsea, it does look...
And is it fair to say that if he could pick a game that he doesn't want this weekend, that home to Mourinho United would be right up there, because it's going to be very hard for them not only to win but to look good doing it as well.
Very much.
And they're currently 29-20 with Bet365 to beat Manchester United this weekend. So £10 will return £24.50, including stake.
Yeah, it'd be fascinating how Mourinho lines up against Chelsea, because we've seen and talked about his approach against the bigger sides, obviously notably away to Liverpool and then at home to Spurs. But both teams need a win.
Yeah, well, I wonder if Mourinho will look at Chelsea's defensive performance against Roma and think, actually, this is very much nickable. It might not be that difficult to sort of get one through this defence.
Well, you go for the old 1-0.
Dzeko's layoff for Perotti, where he had three men on him and he just sort of pirouetted as if you, like you do on FIFA.
It was appalling.
And it took three of them out of the game.
Appalling,
which was abysmal, absolutely abysmal. They're not going to be that bad again, you wouldn't think. But I think Mourinho's a canny operator. He'll be seeing a lot of chinks in that armour to attack.
So an interesting angle to this, which I've heard other people who are closer to Chelsea than I presume we are say, is that this has all started from the Diego Costa thing and the text message, because Diego Costa was really, really popular in the dressing room.
I see.
And a lot of players are still annoyed at the way he was treated. One, because they liked him, and despite all his faults, and two, because he just scored loads of goals for them.
Yeah.
And he was actually a really effective player. And some people are suggesting that the whole thing has its genesis in that particular action.
Well, God. To be a professional and play some football.
Well, I was about to say, like, I mean, if that is the reason, I'm not sure. But then Morata came in, was scoring, hasn't scored for a few games now. But
this is it with Chelsea, though, isn't it? This seems to happen a lot. They get these big personalities in, you know, but both on the playing staff and the management staff, and these clashes happen. I mean, Mourinho's a great example of it.
Mm. Sounds like a job for John Fantastic.
Indeed. Yeah. You know what I would love to see at the weekend? Zlatan on the bench. Oh, just unannounced, out of nowhere.
Is that possible? Is he fit?
Well, I don't know.
He's always fit.
Exactly. Even if he's not, just make him put him in a tracksuit. he's not named on the subs. He's just there. And Conte's thinking,
psyching him out.
What's he doing there?
I like that. Yeah. And Matic, of course, playing against his old side. I did enjoy his quote when he asked about what kind of reception he expects to get. I don't know. When I played there, I always gave 100%. I'm sure they respect that. But if not, I don't really care.
In the image of his manager.
So that's absolutely wonderful. Oh, and just before we move on, of course. There's the news that Mourinho is having a little dig or two at the Manchester United faithful. Well, the Manchester United Supporters Trust must have invited Mourinho to meet them to chat about his concerns over the atmosphere at Old Trafford. Must are very keen to hear his
I'm
views.
Sure they are.
Yeah. Keen as mustard, was that what you're trying to go for?
No.
Oh.
I'd say the meeting was a must.
Yeah. Right. Well, Pete's was actually better. Yeah. So,
was it?
Yeah. Carry on.
What if they were called?
Come on.
No. Okay.
Everton. Everton are searching for a new manager, of course. David Unsworth is in charge of the Toffees still. He's in the Toffee
seat. Certainly is.
How's your Koeman-less week been there, Marcus?
Yeah,
have you just been like
hanging
around the house in a dressing gown, crying, drinking a cup of soup?
Eating ice cream out the bar, at the carton.
Don't be silly. Come on. Reports suggest that Unsworth, he's got the Europa League match against Lyon and then the home match against Watford to see if he can hold on to his temporary position.
So I don't understand that. I don't understand when...
It looks less likely.
Yeah, but when boards and club owners and chairmen and all that stuff do that sort of thing, where they say, well, do you know what? We're going to wait and see how he gets on against Lyon and against Watford, and then we're going to decide. Mm. To me, I just don't know how you can be so short-sighted about how you're going to hire someone or not.
Also, as well, we're going to give you a very public audition. It's a lot. It heaps on a pressure that wouldn't be there otherwise, and you know, it creates this variable that they would never have to deal with when doing the job.
But not only that, if they play really well against Watford and they get some poor refereeing decisions and they get beaten, say 2-1 against a good team, I mean, what has the chairman learnt about David Unsworth that he didn't already know there? Well, I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
It was like when I did a trial day at Nero Coffee in Leicester, and I covered a woman in hot foam, and I didn't get paid for the day.
Yeah. Why did you cover
her in hot foam?
Yeah.
I covered her. Like head to toe.
Well, no, there's not that much.
And was this coffee related?
A fire extinguisher.
Did you actually burn her?
No, I just sort of like got a bit of, I just spread froth on her effectively.
Did you shout a foam party?
It's a Leicester foam party.
When you said you used to be a barrister, I didn't think that's what you meant.
For one day, I was.
Man, yeah. Well,
so it is very much like that, isn't it, Mark?
Very public disgrace.
I'd say it's spot on. And I don't think we need to say another word about it now, Peter's put that comparison in our heads. Apparently, Wolves manager Nuno Santo has been approached, but said he wasn't interested in the Everton position. And the two front runners now appear to be Sean Dyche and Sam Allardyce.
I mean, an interesting point, right? I would think that. And Allardyce is, you know, I think he's got that thing with Palace, isn't he, where he'd have to
give him some money. Yeah. And so, he's also spent a lot of his time on BeIN Sports in the Middle East, being quite jingoistic recently, so he might not have any time.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean,
it's certainly a discussion to have in wings, Jim.
When Everton are saying, all right, you've got two games, are they buying themselves time? All right, we don't know. You've got another three games.
Yeah.
Because no one wants this.
I do see Nuno Santo's point of view, because he's guided Wolves to the top of the Championship.
Yep.
There's a good chance they could be promoted. Mm-hmm. If he takes them into the Premier League, I mean, he's already there. He's already in situ. He knows the club. He's got a lot of players. There's so many variables about going to Everton, who I know, of course, are a big club, but it's a huge challenge there. I really wonder about their direction and their squad and the players they've got at the new manager's disposal, and whether that can actually work as a blend. It seems like it's very, very difficult.
Yeah, and with Santo, I mean, he's got that job, you would have thought, until at least the end of the season, unless it goes terribly wrong. Whereas Everton, Oh, blimey, it might be 3 months, and then if it's not going well, and as you say, it's a hard one.
Might debore himself.
Yeah. This is an interesting game as well from Unsworth's point of view, because everyone's very aware that he's up against a very tactically astute manager in Marco Silva. So this is a good test of, you know, of what he can do in a game that Everton should absolutely be expected to win for the standards they're aiming.
Do you know what? I think this is a good measure of Watford and Marco Silva, because we've been very effusive in our praise for him and for Watford. They've lost their last two Premier League games. Mm. So yeah, if they go to Everton, who are really struggling badly, are in the relegation zone, and are beaten, you think, well, three defeats in a row, two of those games you should have won. And then we start asking questions. But I think from Everton's point of view, against, as Jim rightly says, a very tactically astute manager, you don't really want this type of game, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, Sean Dyche is 46, and if he was appointed, then he could well be a long-term appointment at the club. You know, that type of manager has served them well in a sort of David Moyes type role. But like I said, I wouldn't imagine Dyche would be challenging for sort of top six if he took over Everton. Well, who knows?
But isn't he the same age as David Unsworth and probably the same shape as well? What's Barton going to say about that?
Yeah, no, Dyche is much slimmer than Unsworth.
It's just a smaller frame to work with.
It's Unsworth, but further away.
Well, what about Allardyce, Peter?
Well, exactly. He's a bit older.
We talk about Sean Dyche quite a lot, because he seems to get linked with every new managerial job that comes up. Mm-hmm. And I still maintain that the job he has at Burnley is almost it's almost unique. Mm. It's like he's been there for such a long time. They're playing a certain way. They don't have a huge expectation.
And they're having a good time.
And by definition, they are. But by definition, he's going to go to a better job. With respect to Burnley, a bigger club.
Yeah.
And then by automatically, the challenge is going to be different. The way he plays and the way the outlook and the setup at Burnley can't be replicated at Everton, because that's part of the reason they moved on from other managers in the first place. Mm-hmm. So it's a huge sort of change in terms of outlook if he were to move there. And I don't think it's guaranteed that he would be successful. And Everton are 8-1 with Bet365 to be relegated this season. 8-1 to be relegated. £10 returns, £90 including stakes should they go down. I mean, it's crazy we're talking about that, but I mean, they're in a relegation battle now.
They are, yeah. Well, and if Dyche took over, as I say, they would hope that that would be a long-term appointment. Whether it would be or not would be have to remain to be seen. But Sam Allardyce considered he'd consider the opportunity of, as he put it, putting Everton back together, but possibly only until the end of the season.
Yeah.
I mean, Allardyce is kind of
known. Who do you think he is, eh?
Goose Hiddink.
Gunslinger for hire. Yeah.
No, you just know he'll be caught on a long lens before the end of the season.
Speaking from experience there, Peter.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Good to know that former Everton manager David Moyes said he won't be long until he's back in football. Okay. Something we can all look forward to.
Is that his decision?
Is that him throwing his hat into the ring?
I don't know. I really...
Maybe it means he won't be long until he's back in a football.
What, in one of those big zobs?
Yeah. Yeah.
Was he on a stag do or something?
Told you he'd be back in football.
Oh, Luke, what is our best bet with Bet365?
Well, I, as I mentioned earlier, we had quite a few Spurs fans being self-deprecating, which I enjoyed. But I eventually decided to go for this from Steve Durr. Great name, Steve. Mm. I like this email because it's really punchy. He says, good afternoon, gents. I'm writing yet again to submit my pick for our best bet this week. If you see below, I have forwarded my pick from last week, which you moronically neglected.
Moronically?
in favour of betting on a South Coast derby, which didn't even last a half. And so in the interest of fairness, Steve did suggest Man United to beat Spurs and keep a clean sheet. So it's fair enough. Yeah, fair enough. He's not after time in there. He was bang on the money. He said, hopefully you'll make a better decision this week.
Oh.
Well, I have done. Well, I've made a decision, put it that way. We'll see. He says, my bet of the week, which pains me as a Manchester United fan, is for Man City to win and there to be over 3.5 goals in the match. I simply do not see the torrid Arsenal backline doing anything other than hemorrhaging goals to a blistering City attack. From South Carolina with love, Steve Durr. So, Steve, you're in the hot seat.
Steve,
If you get this one right, you've got a tricky international break next week.
Ooh.
So it's not going to be easy for you to get that ORE. No one's ever done it, the hat trick.
Yeah, but you could bet on like Germany hammering somebody.
Well, he could do.
England.
Well, it'd have to be approved by us, though, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would be, Steve.
So this bet is available at odds of 8-5 in the result total goals market. So Man City to win and there to be 4 goals or more. Mm. And so our £50 will return £130 including stake, with all proceeds going towards Prostate Cancer UK. You must be over the age of 18 to gamble and gamble responsibly. And for more information, go to gambleaware.co.uk. All the best, Steve. We wish you luck.
Well done, Duro.
Yeah, Dursey.
Dursey, come on.
I hope you mess it up.
But you said that with the sort of emotion of a man who knows that he hasn't messed it up.
Yeah, emotion was strong.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Let's look ahead to the weekend, though, with Luke Aaron Moore.
Yes, I've got a few here. Pete, you want to listen into these ones, mate?
Yeah, I'm listening.
What are you drawing there?
It looks
mate?
Like a zombie version
can,
of you.
I can draw and listen while you do your admin.
Well, what have you drawn was what was asked.
Is it a zombie David Moyes?
I don't know. It's a nice a guy with nice curly hair. Not okay. unlike and your good self there.
You've initialed it JF. Yeah. John Fantastic.
John Fantastic. Yeah.
Pete does draw quite a lot of... It's quite disturbing the amount of pictures of me Pete draws.
Because I'm always sat across from you, aren't I? Yeah. And you're the most visually interesting, let's say.
I'll take it.
Take it as a compliment.
Looking ahead to the weekend... William Egan, continuing the Spurs thread. I'm looking forward to Tottenham backing up their amazing midweek performance with a 1-1 draw. Ben Fraser says, Hodgson's triumphant return to Wembley. Don't forget the man is unbeaten in competitive games at Wembley.
That's an excellent stat.
There you go.
That is an excellent stat. And it's made me think entirely differently about that fixture.
That's really funny, isn't it? Because, I mean, we know where this is going to go. Yeah. Oh, Roy's going to lose that.
Yeah. I know, you will.
I don't know. Let's see how it works.
Look, he loves Roy the Viders, Marcus. Yeah. I love it.
There's certain things, there's certain sort of holy grails, certain red lines that Marcus will not. One is Roy the Boy.
Yeah. Roy the Boy.
Sven. Yeah. Spenigans, yeah. And big Ronnie K.
Ronnie K was a sort of new...
Do you... More Sol Campbell. A flirtation, a summer's romance.
Yeah.
Sol Campbell in there too.
No, Ronald Koeman, yeah. I don't put in the same bracket as him. I've enjoyed his Twitter output because it's entirely ridiculous.
Only one of those three is currently in a job, by the way. It's bad times for you.
Do you love Roy more than Pep loves Napoli?
Oh, no, I don't think I could.
Right, okay. Just so I know.
Yeah. But there's a bit of lust in there with Pep as well, I think.
I'll finish with this from Tom Lyon, who says, I'm looking forward to Alexis Sanchez's gloves hopefully getting their first start this weekend.
Mm.
Presumably they'll end up throwing themselves to the floor on the 93rd minute after Jesus' fourth goal. Or Jesus' fourth goal, I should say. Any comment on that, Jim?
Jesus.
Is a sigh enough? It's a sigh of resignation.
Jim actually looked really disappointed there. Not to the point of...
You can see the image
himself.
Of the goal going in, that's right.
Like it just happened as you said that.
A sigh is worth 1,000 words, I think, in that case.
There we are. Are we done, Luke?
We are done.
Marvellous. Right, there we are. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365, everybody. Pleasure having you with us. Any more for any more, gentlemen? Another sigh, Jim? Have we got... No, okay.
How many sighs per show will you be doing on Monday after the game?
Yeah.
I think it would just be one continual one.
Yeah, okay.
Do it during the music.
Yeah, I'll have to learn some sort of breathing technique so I can still speak as well.
Circular sighing.
Ahead of this game against Man City, it's not too late to enlist the services of one Mr. John Fantastic.
Well, yeah. Help us out, Donaldson.
I know, right?
He's got enough on his plate trying to get involved in the bid to buy Newcastle. Yeah. How's that going, by the way?
Yeah, I don't know it's going to be happening. Yeah. Sounds like Staveley needs a little bit of a...
John Fantastic in their life.
A bit of PR, good PR.
Has Ashley been staving her off? There we are. Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Jim.
See you, losers.
Say goodbye.
See you, losers. Bye.
Bye from me.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.